ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
This is continuing a series of continuation within a series of lectures on this verse. So I hope you've all studied this verse carefully previously so that you can pick up the thread. Those who know this verse can chant it with me. Dharamah prochita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranang satam vidyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapa trayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite King Vaparai Rishvaraha Sadhyo Hridyavarudhyate Trakriti Bhistakshushabhistakshanat. The translation. So this Srimad Bhagavatam will be understood and appreciated by devotees who are pure in heart, who are not interested in cultivating dharma, artha, karma or moksha, and who do not mix dharma, artha, karma or moksha with devotional service. This is called the Haituki Bhakti. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes that pure devotional service. We'll find in other Puranas there are descriptions of persons who perform pious activities and got a worldly result. There are descriptions of various gems which can award the various benefic results, beneficial results. There are descriptions of visiting holy places which can rid you of all your sins and send you to the heavenly planets. You've probably seen this book called Ekadashi Mahatmya. Have you seen that book? Is it translated in Czech? So various statements are there that for instance, Putrada Ekadashi. By observing this, you can get a son.
Yep.
Mostly nowadays people are using contraceptives and trying not to have sons. But previously it was considered auspicious to have many children, especially sons. And for those who didn't have sons, they could observe Putrada Ekadashi and get a son by the grace of following this Ekadashi. So various Puranas are full of various descriptions of the material benefits one may get by observing the various Ekadashis, and these are compiled in the book called Ekadashi Mahatmya. Similarly, there's a book describing the glories of hearing Bhagavad Gita in Padma Purana. It's collected from Padma Purana. Padma, which is also one of the Sattvic Puranas. And it describes that by reciting the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you get such and such a worldly benefit. By reciting the second chapter, you get such and such a benefit. And so on. Material benefits. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not meant for all this. What now about ghosts? You can see in the Garuda Purana descriptions of various kinds of ghosts. What do you have to do to become one kind of ghost, or what do you have to do to become another kind of ghost, and so on. It's all there, the science of ghosts. We don't study that. We study Srimad Bhagavatam, in which is described is clearly, elaborately, from beginning to end, describing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without diverting to any other subject. Even though there are descriptions of the dynasties of various kings, but these are the dynasties in which the Supreme Lord in his various avatars appears, and in which great devotees appear. And there are also descriptions of renunciation of this world, but these are also for the sake of attaining bhakti. For instance, we find certain verses within Bhagavatam which strongly promote renunciation of material sense enjoyment. Examples? There are so many.
Stricter forest of sense enjoyment.
Forest of material enjoyment, yeah, that's several chapters. Not just one chapter, not just one verse describing that. And then, any specific verses? There's so many. Nayam deho bhajamre, nayam deho deho bhajamre loke, for instance. There's one. Can anyone supply the rest of that verse? Alright, translation? Yeah, it's quite long. It's worth hearing. It's worth hearing. You can say the translation in Czech, you don't know if it's tough to say it in English. You don't have to know the exact translation. It's alright. There is no exact translation. I mean, the way we have the way that Prabhupada rendered it, but then Prabhupada himself, when he quoted the verses in classes, he wouldn't quote it exactly the way he translated in Bhagavatam. There's no, what is the meaning of an exact translation? Those who are translators know that there is no such thing as an exact translation. They said it in summary. Yeah?
Okay.
You start to give the translation. Okay. Don't live like a pig. Search out the supreme truth. So this is a theme which is repeated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Jivasya tattva jignyasa. One should live for the sake of inquiring into the supreme truth. So like this, there are many verses in the Bhagavatam which promote renunciation, but for the sake of coming to Krishna consciousness, not dry renunciation. So satam are those devotees who are not interested in cultivating dharma, artha, karma, or moksha, but only in pure devotional service. Only in cultivating pure devotional service. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of narrations of pure devotees. Some of them were initially interested in dharma, artha, karma, or moksha, but they came to the platform of pure devotional service. A great example of someone who is an emblem of following dharma is Harishchandra. Yeah. Famous name. His story is given briefly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is given elaborately in Mahabharata. And many of the narrations in Bhagavatam are given more elaborately in other. So Harishchandra was sworn to honesty and the truth, and ultimately came to the platform of the highest truth, which is Krishna consciousness. Then we find that Dhruva Maharaj, he was interested in artha, he was interested in gain. He wanted to gain property. He wanted to gain wealth, but he also ultimately came to the platform of pure devotional service. We find that Gajendra was interested in sense enjoyment, and he also took shelter of the Supreme Lord and attained pure devotional service. And we find the four Kumaras, they were interested in impersonal realization, but they also, by smelling the aroma of tulsi leaves offered at the feet of Lord Vishnu, they also came to pure devotional service. So Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimad. It is beautiful because it contains only descriptions of Krishna and pure devotional service. This term, Sri, Srimad, Sriman, there are various forms of the word, means endowed with beauty or opulence. And it is a general term of respect. That's why it's when we want to respectfully address someone, we always say Shri beforehand. It's not actually very proper just to say Prabhupada, I saw Prabhupada, but it's actually proper to say at least Srila Prabhupada. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, the term Shri is properly attached to the Supreme Lord and the pure devotees. In India, up to the present time, although the culture is being rapidly thrown out, within Hindu culture, a man is addressed as Shri and a married woman as Srimati. So Bhagavatam, here there's just some indication that the Srimad Bhagavatam means narration of Krishna with Radha. Radha is called Sri. When we say Sri Krishna, we mean respectable Krishna, but those who are Gauriya Vaishnavas mean understand that Sri here actually indicates Srimati Radharani. So there's definitely a long, long way beyond dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. This Srimad Bhagavatam, these narrations are so confidential. It's really not at all meant for materialistic people or even those who are aspiring for liberation from this world. And even Vaishnavas who perceive Vaishnavism as a process of liberation, they also can't properly enter this Bhagavatam. In most Vaishnava sampradayas, the ultimate goal of life is perceived as liberation, Vaishnava liberation. That means not impersonal liberation, but the opportunity to serve the Lord directly in Vaikuntha. Kainkarya in the Sri Vaishnava sampradaya, the desired goal is kainkarya, or to be a personal servant of the Supreme Lord, or to be engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Lord Narayana. So the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they also aspire for that. But for the pure devotees, as Lord Kapila Dev says, that diyamanam nagrihnati binamat sevanam jana, that the pure devotees, sarupya sarshti samipya salo apyuta, that even if they are offered various kinds of liberation, my pure devotees don't accept it without the opportunity to serve. So the pure devotees they emphasize the opportunity to serve the Lord above even liberation. Oh. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaitu kitvai. Even I may be born again and again, I may not be liberated, but may I always serve you selflessly. Jagadish. And therefore the Bhagavatam is most beautiful. For all these reasons. Because it describes the beauty of Krishna. And that beauty of the Bhagavatam is not marred or stained by any lower principle such as dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. It's not compromised by
it.
To be marred or stained is to have a mark. Just there's the example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is given that someone may be very beautiful, but if they have a little bit of white leprosy, then their whole, all the beauty is, it's lost. Have you read that? Remember reading that? No. But you understand the example. You see some people in India, their brown complexion, they have marks of white here and there, and it looks ugly, and it's considered inauspicious. Yeah. It's called white leprosy. It's not actually leprosy. Somehow they call it melanoma. Sometimes white-skinned people have it also, but you don't notice it so much. In this country, I don't think you see it, but you see even devotees from the West who go to live in India, sometimes they get it. Anyway, the point is that if there's even a spot of this mark, then the whole beauty is compromised. I was once... here's a funny story. I was once distributing books on King's Road, that's what it's called, in Chelsea in London. Very fashionable street. Maybe you've heard the name. You haven't heard the name. Now you just heard it. You hadn't heard the name before, it seems. Chelsea. Anyway, in Chelsea. Everyone's heard of Chelsea. Yes. So, at least it was fashionable in that time. It probably is still nowadays. Now, all the, you know, people who want to show they're very fashionable, they hang out in that area. So I saw a very beautiful woman walking along the road. There's lots of beautiful women there because, you know, fashionable means beautiful, something's supposed to be. So, you know, she had an expensive coat and a fancy hairstyle and the latest fashion shoes and fashionable dog on a lead. Dog also had a hairstyle. And, you know, a typical beautiful woman of King's Road dressed very fashionably. There's just one thing missing in her beautiful countenance, namely her nose. She didn't have any nose. She just had a hole where the nose. So, for all the, you know, lipstick and everything, it was, couldn't help but think that it looks horrible. So, like that. If in pure devotional service, if it's not exactly to the point, if there's something missing, or there's something, or just like if someone, they may be very beautiful, but they may have some growth on their face or something like this, or pimples, just little pimples. It makes the beauty look horrible. So especially young girls, if there's a little pimple on their face, it's like a major disaster. Or to speak of a pimple, even a, what's it called? A blackhead. You know what that is? You get a little black, black comes in the pore of the skin. It's a very small thing. Blackhead. Anyway, little black spots on the face. Yeah, you get that in dirty cities especially. Some smoke goes in the pore. And then, women. So like that, bhakti, if it's not pure, if it has some, even a little touch of material desire, na shobhate, it doesn't look nice. Na shobhate gyanam alang niranjanam. Naishkamyam apyachuta bhava varjitam, na shobhate gyanam alang niranjanam kutapunas. Oh, now I forget. Ishvaram. What's the next line? Na charpita karma. Yeah. Okay, give the translation of that too. Well, it means that even if one is acting apparently selflessly, but it is achuta bhava varjitam, without Krishna consciousness, it's not nice. Even if you have knowledge of Shastra and it sounds very nice, but without Krishna consciousness, without spotless Krishna consciousness, niranjanam, then nashobate. It's actually not very nice. So what to speak, if even jnana or cultivation of knowledge in Shastra is not nice without Krishna consciousness, then what to speak of fruitive activities which from the very outset are just totally materialistic. Sharia. Kutapuna Shashvad Abhadra Mishvarina Charpita Karma. So Srimad Bhagavatam is beautiful for all these reasons. Apart from that, Bhagavatam is very poetic and beautiful. And even students of mundane literature recognize that the verses of the Bhagavatam are very beautifully composed. Kalidas is supposed to be the greatest poet of Sanskrit. He's written very beautifully. But actually Vyasadev is the best of all poets. In Bengali also they think Rabindranath Tagore, they think he's the best poet. Yeah, Rabi Tagore, the Bengalis say. Rabindranath, that's his full name. You've never heard of Rabindranath Tagore. Oh, Bengalis will be so disappointed. they think that everyone all over the world knows heard of him. I did too. I was fooled by them. Bengalis think that everyone all over the world has heard of him. But you haven't. They'll be very disappointed to know. They also think that everyone all over the world knows Bibekananda, but they don't. It's a dream. But there's so many great Vaishnava poets who are actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur. They've written so beautifully. And the real subject also, not just some stupid poetical wanderings through the forest of material existence. Alright, I'll finish there, and tomorrow we can discuss Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam. Tomorrow means, if we are fortunate, we can't say, but we can plan it like that. We can't say for sure that we'll see tomorrow through the eyes that we are presently seeing, but presuming that Bhagavan will give us the opportunity to meet again tomorrow and discuss this, we shall plan on discussing how Bhagavatam is Shivadam Tapatrayon Bhulanam. I'm not exactly going word by word in order, because the topics, they interrelate with each other in different ways. It's a standard practice in commentaries on scripture to give the anvaya, or put the words of the verse in an order so that it comes out in prose, to rearrange the verse, the words of the verse, for easier understanding. Because you'll often find in a Sanskrit verse that an adjective, it modifies a noun, but they're separated by several other words. So to help to make it easier for the reader to understand which noun it's supposed to be modifying, so they don't get mixed up and get the wrong meaning or get confused, the anvaya is there, or the which gives the direct meaning.
Takže aby se zabránilo tomu zmatení a vyjasnilo se, které podstatné jméno je ovlivňováno přídavným.
Did you say Vyasadi? I didn't say Vyasadi. Did you say
Vyasadi?
You didn't say. All right. I used a Czech word, which I misheard as Vyasadi. Sounded like that again to my imperfect hearing. Vyasni. Vyasni. What does it mean?
Clear.
Clear. All right. So like that, there's so much packed into these first three verses of Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam is to be unpacked from these three verses. So therefore, when discussing one term, other terms come. They're all interrelated, so they may be explained out of sequence. All right, Hare Krishna. Is there any question about what we discussed just now?
At the end of many chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are verses which describes
Falashruti. Yeah, it's called Falashruti. Yeah.
Benediction. So why is
that? Well, I discussed that the other day in Zagreb, how that is. All of Bhagavatam is to be understood in terms of these first three verses. So if such things are there, it means that it's not the essence of Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam rejects dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But for persons who still have some attraction for that, it may attract them to study the Bhagavatam. And then they will get the same result as, just for instance, as Dhruva Maharaj did. It's definitely not emphasized in Bhagavatam. Pure devotional service is very clearly emphasized from beginning to end in Bhagavatam. And even toward the end of Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami says, I've included various topics, but which they're not the, although they're not the essence, but they are to attract people toward the actual topics of renunciation of this world and absorption in Krishna. There's definitely no other shastra which deals so unmixedly and explicitly and elaborately with pure devotional service as Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's why Narad Muni inspired Vyasadeva to compile it, because such a scripture was lacking. Did you get all of that? That was a long sentence.
I hope so.
Okay. There's certainly no other scripture which so unmixedly, explicitly, and elaborately describes pure devotional service. And therefore, Narad Muni inspired Vyasadeva to compile it, because there was a need for such a scripture. And I hope by discussing these points, you may also become more inspired to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And that in your regular, those who are regularly studying Srimad Bhagavatam may get more insights. Yeah, anything else?
How we speak about a woman which is not yet married. because you spoke
of a woman who's married, Srimati, she's addressed as Kumari. An unmarried woman is addressed as Kumari.
How the her future husband should
address her.
Address her.
He doesn't address her. He doesn't even see her till the day of until they're married. Until the marriage ceremony. That's the Vedic culture.
What she is for him.
They don't talk. you don't have any idea.
He means about not talking about her with
him. Yeah, but he doesn't talk. What's his business? You don't have any idea, you know. It's like in public, men and women, even if they're married, they're, even today, even up till today, they're very reserved in their behavior. They don't walk around holding hands or kissing each other, and they don't do all that in public. Modern Western society is based on sex. They think it's very important, and everything should center around that. Civilization is based on restraining sex. And not that it's stopped, but it's managed in a respectable way, in a manner which is beneficial for human society, not just for the animal instinct of the individual. So it's very difficult for us to understand this, having been raised as semi-tamed animals.
Semi-tamed.
Partially tamed animals.
Not tamed.
Tamed means just like the tiger, you can, if it's brought up from the kitten stage, it can be made somewhat docile. Or just like a Mustang horse, yeah. You can break it in to some extent. It still remains a love. It's all an illusion. That's what Kalidas is famous for writing about love. He's a mundane poet. Of course, even that was on scriptural themes. But, you know, within scripture there's dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So, like Shakuntala, dharma is not absent in there, and the son of Shakuntala was a great personage, no doubt. But still, you know, the Kamis tend to see all these stories. Yeah, okay, say that. The story of Shakuntala is also given in Bhagavatam, but the way it's given in Bhagavatam and the perspective that it's given in Mahabharata and the perspective that is taken by the followers of Mahabharata is different. That's why the Bhagavatam is meant for those who are nirmat saranam, those who are not cultivating dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Those who are cultivating dharma, artha, kama, and moksha will find it in Bhagavatam. Just like the example is given, different people go to a forest and they have different thoughts. A saintly person goes to a forest and thinks this is a good place for meditation and for collecting fruits and roots to offer the Lord. A traditional kshatriya thinks, now I have to kill the dangerous animals in the forest to protect the rishis here. A business-minded person thinks, well, let me purchase this and I'll cut down the trees, make a profit from the trees, and make a housing colony here and sell it, and I can make a good profit. And a lusty person thinks this is a good place to bring my girlfriend. We can, I can enjoy without disturbance here. So the non-devotees, they find in the Bhagavatam, or they'll look for, it's difficult to find in the Bhagavatam, but they'll look for dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. They'll try to interpret it in this way. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is so strong from the beginning and all the way through in rejecting, in unequivocal terms, very heavily, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And those who have studied Bhagavatam from a Bhagavat, from a pure devotee, they will find, even in the scriptures which are presumed to be about dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, they will find Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's essential to understand from the beginning what is the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, people who jump to the 10th canto and the intimate pastimes of Krishna, They think that they're experiencing bhakti, but they're not. I have seen Mayavadis reciting 10th canto and thinking this is very nice. But they're apparently relishing it, but their ultimate goal is to get moksha, impersonal liberation. And generally people think it's something, it's nice for me to enjoy and hear. They don't realize that Bhagavatam, bhaktya bhagavata grahyam. Bhagavatam can be approached by bhakti, which means the service mode. Anything else?
He would like to ask, what does it mean to approach Bhagavatam with bhakti? For example, to...
What does it mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? For example, if we chant, we should chant attentively, we should hear attentively. So what does it mean to approach Bhagavatam with bhakti?
To approach Bhagavatam with bhakti, therefore, Prabhupada has, Srila Prabhupada has, in his introduction to the Bhagavatam, given an overview of the teachings and pastimes of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhagavatam can be understood properly and fully through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose teachings were manifest through Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So how to approach Bhagavatam with bhakti? We will find what is the definition of bhakti in Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. How to perform bhakti, the details of it, the attitude, everything is described there. Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, without cultivating dharma, artha, kama or moksha. Simply everything for Krishna's satisfaction. That is the bhakti taught by Bhagavatam, and cultivate within that spirit, one can approach Bhagavatam and actually enter, or be allowed to enter into the spirit of Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam
into the essence of Bhagavatam.
Did Srila Prabhupada, he want to establish Varnasham Dharma? I was reading your book. It's a glimpse of the tradition of Vedic culture. And actually consider it very valuable witness of the Vaishnav culture. And especially there are a lot of information to, excuse me. There are a lot of valuable information, especially regarding practical Varnasham Dharma. So is there, is possible that in future that ISKCON, especially the villages, will be something like this witness in this book?
So the answer is yes, certainly. But I'm not going to get into that now. That's another whole big discussion. So I'll finish now, and Hare Krishna, and look forward to seeing you all tomorrow morning. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.